Let's continue reading Micah chapter 4. In this chapter, we have the good news of Israel's future. Let's read the first four verses. Micah chapter 4, beginning now at verse 1. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and peoples shall flow to it. Many nations shall come and say, Come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion the law shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples, and rebuke strong nations afar off. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But everyone shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. Once again, some background notes. We come now to the deliverance portion of Micah's second message. Remember, Micah's second message is contained in chapters 3, 4, and 5. Chapter 3 was the judgment part of the message. Now chapters 4 and 5 are the deliverance part, the good news. Micah's first message in chapters 1 and 2 only had two verses of good news, namely the last two verses of chapter 2. Now here in Micah's second message, we have two whole chapters of good news. Notice from verse 1 that the good news will come about in the last days. Right, verse 1, now it shall come about in the latter days, the last days. We believe the last days here refer to the time of the Lord's second coming. So the Lord's house here in verse 1 is not the church today. Very important to note this, because a lot of Christians have a different interpretation of this verse and what this is all about. So the Lord's house here in verse 1 is not the church today. No. It is the temple that will be rebuilt in Jerusalem in the future when the Lord returns and restores the fortunes of Israel. The destruction of the temple will be reversed, and it will be built again in the future. And Jerusalem will become the capital of the world, as we see there in verse 2. When the Lord returns and sets up his kingdom here on this earth, Jerusalem will be his headquarters, and nations will come to Jerusalem and be subject to the word of the Lord. It will all literally take place. It's yet in the future. So verse 2, then, is not about mission work in the church today. No, it is about the way it will be in the future when the Lord returns and sets up his kingdom on this earth. All nations will come to Jerusalem. Jerusalem will be the headquarters of our Lord's kingdom. And the word of the Lord will go out, and all nations will be subject to it. This is known as the millennial kingdom of Christ, because it will last for 1,000 years, according to Revelation chapter 20. Well, a lot more background we could give here, but let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points for Micah chapter 4. So doctrinal point number 1, the Lord will restore and renew the peace of Israel. The Lord will restore and renew the peace of Israel. Verse 3, he shall judge between many peoples and rebuke strong nations afar off. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. The he here, of course, he shall judge between many nations, that is the Lord. The Lord will be here on this earth, reigning as king. What a great time of peace that will be. It will extend beyond Jerusalem and the restored nation of Israel to the whole world. There will be no more war or even learning about war. No more West Points or military bases. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. You know, this verse is also found in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4. Remember, Micah and Isaiah were contemporaries, and they both gave this great prediction of peace. this verse, they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. This verse is inscribed on the entrance to the United Nations as an incentive for peace, but it will not be fulfilled by the UN. It will only be fulfilled when the Lord returns and sets up his kingdom of peace on this earth. The Lord alone is the Prince of Peace. Now, verse 4 is a wonderful description of peace, isn't it? But everyone shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree and lie in his hammock and sip lemonade, and no one shall make them afraid. Well, it doesn't have the hammock and lemonade part here, but I think you get the idea. But verse 4 is a pleasant description of peace and security, isn't it? Now verse 5. For all people walk each in the name of his God, but we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. Now this verse could be confusing. This verse is not saying that in that future day, everyone is going to have a different God. That's not the idea. No. The point is that in contrast to Micah's day, where everyone was following his own God, in that day, everyone will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. The Lord will restore and renew the peace of Israel. Doctrinal point number 2. The Lord will rescue and redeem the people of Israel. The Lord will rescue and redeem the people of Israel. Verses 6 through 13. Let's read verses 6 through 8. In that day, says the Lord, I will assemble the lame. I will regather the outcast and those whom I have afflicted. I will make the lame a remnant and the outcast a strong nation. So the Lord will reign over them in Mount Zion from now on, even forever. And you, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, to you shall it come. Even the former dominion shall come, the kingdom of the daughter of Jerusalem. In these verses, we have a promise and prediction that the Lord will rescue and bring back a godly remnant to the land of Israel and make them a strong nation, not lame like before. Again, this is not the church today, but restored Israel in the future. And the former dominion shall come, according to verse 8. That is, all that Israel was in its greatest glory under Solomon, under King Solomon, shall return. All the land promised under the Abrahamic covenant shall be Israel's when the Lord returns. In reference to the words of our Lord in Luke chapter 21, verse 24, the times of the Gentiles will have run their course. Now notice in verse 6 that God says, I have afflicted Israel. Isn't that interesting? God has been working through the sufferings of the Jewish people down through the years to bring about the godly remnant that he will rescue and redeem in the last days. Now in verses 9 through 13, Micah predicts four events which would have to take place before the realization of the restored godly remnant and glorious kingdom of the last days. Number 1, the Jews would go as captives to Babylon, verses 9 and 10. Now, why do you cry aloud? Is there no king in your midst? Has your counselor perished? For pangs have seized you like a woman in labor? Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in birth pangs. For now you shall go forth from the city. You shall dwell in the field, and to Babylon you shall go. This is an amazing prophecy. When Micah wrote this prophecy, Assyria was in power, not Babylon. And yet, it is accurately predicted here that the Jews would go as captives to Babylon. Number 2, the Jews would return from their captivity in Babylon. The Jews would return from their captivity in Babylon. The end of verse 10. And to Babylon you shall go, there you shall be delivered. There the Lord will redeem you from the hand of your enemies. Indeed, this took place when the Persians conquered the Babylonian Empire, and Cyrus the Persian allowed the Jews to return to Jerusalem. Number three, many nations will be gathered against Israel. Many nations will be gathered against Israel. Verse 11. Now also many nations have gathered against you, who say, let her be defiled, and let our eye look upon Zion. We believe that this prophecy is yet to be fulfilled in the future. But already the stage is being set, even as we speak. The anti-Semitism of the last days will culminate with an invasion of Israel, and the nations of the world will turn against Israel. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 2 predicts these same events. For I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem. You know, I think it's easy to see from current events how such a scenario could easily come to pass in a very short time in the near future. Even now, frequently I've heard the comment and seen the attitude, oh, if it just wasn't for the state of Israel, we could solve all the problems in the Middle East. Listen, folks, that attitude will continue to grow in the days ahead. But that's not the end of the story. Number four, Israel will be victorious. Israel will be victorious. Verses 12 and 13. But they do not know the thoughts of the Lord, nor do they understand his counsel. For he will gather them like sheaves to the threshing floor. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I will make your horn iron, and I will make your hooves bronze. You shall beat in pieces many peoples. I will consecrate their gain to the Lord and their substance to the Lord of the whole earth. Israel will emerge victorious because the Lord will fight for Israel. This is the time of the Lord's return and the battle of Armageddon, Revelation chapter 16 and 19. God will gather all these nations together against Israel in the future, and they will be judged. As verse 12 says, God is bringing them together. He will judge them. Israel will be victorious and give glory to God. The Lord will rescue and redeem the people of Israel. Now, what about practical application from Micah chapter 4? Let prophecy change your character. Let prophecy change your character. Let me ask you, what is your response to the study of prophecy? Do you get excited and want to know more details so that you can become a Bible prophecy expert? Well, that's not all bad. But the study of prophecy should do more than that. It should change your character. When we realize what's going to take place in the future, we should be motivated now to serve the Lord more faithfully. All these events will take place, and it looks like they may take place in the near future. All our material possessions and earthly interests will mean nothing then. Let's use our time and talent and treasure now wisely. Let prophecy change your character.